I always wanted to be a drummer, but I have no rhythm, so it kind of eliminates that possibility. But the choir and everybody did an awesome job. Just let's give them a round of applause for it. Amen. Awesome, awesome. Let's stand together and reach out and grab the hands across the aisles, and let's have a prayer today. And God is so good to us. His love is amazing. And, you know, the fact is, and without Jesus, there is no hope for this world. But the good news is we don't stand here today without Jesus, do we? We stand here with him. And we can celebrate the life and the love that we find in Jesus today. And so let's just pray that God will use his word and use his spirit to touch our hearts and to challenge us so that every day we would sound and look and live just like Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we honor you today. It's so awesome to be in this place and to be able to celebrate the life that we have in Jesus. We just pray that our life would be more than what happens on Sunday morning, more than what happens in a message or in a concert, but the concert and the message and your spirit and the word would so challenge our hearts and so inspire us that every day we would look and sound like Jesus. And God, we just pray today that you would use this time together as we study your word to totally transform our lives, to continue that sanctification process. So that today, when this day ends, we're more like you than ever before. And God, I pray for those today that are just hurting, that are struggling, that just need your help and your encouragement. Lord, I pray for Jody and Kathy McKinnon, and I just lift them up to you. Lord, this past couple of weeks has been a time of prayer for them, and a roller coaster ride, and I know their emotions have been up and down and back and forth, and now her dad is with you. It's with Jesus. Lord, we thank you for his life in Christ, and we thank you for the love that you give us. And we just pray now that you'd just wrap up that family in your arms and just encourage them today. God, we pray for Doris Souser and her family and the loss of her sister. I just pray that you'd love them today and just encourage them with your love and grace. And God, there are people all through this auditorium that may find this time of the year a little bit overwhelming, and the stress is just too great, and just need some help and encouragement. I pray today that they would find their encouragement and their hope in you. Have your way in our hearts today. Be blessed as we study your word, as we obey you, as we live for Jesus. And we'll give you praise. In the name of Jesus we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. I want you to take your Bibles as you find your seats this morning and make your way to a New Testament passage in 1 John chapter 2. And we're gonna be several places today, so just keep your Bibles out as we make our way around the scriptures today to several different places. And I'm not gonna be able to take long in those passages. You might want to write them down. Some of them you might find them easy to locate. But I want to talk to you about something that may sound a little interesting for a Christmas message. And it's really every message is a Christmas message because every message is essentially about Jesus. You know, wherever you are in the Bible, whatever you're talking about, from Genesis to Revelation, you start there, and then you just make a run to Jesus, because he is the what this book is about. He is the one this book is about. So we're going to celebrate that today. I want to talk about just the whole issue of integrity. And you start thinking about Christmas. Christmas is Christian. And it's just real simple. I know I'm being the master of the obvious right now, but Christmas is Christian. And the reason is because it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus. You take out the birth of Jesus and you have no birthday party and you have no celebration. However, this is one of those times of the year where many people do something more than just celebrate the birth of Jesus. They take a serious examination of the life of Jesus. And it's interesting to me that those people who are outside of Jesus, they hear so much about Jesus at Christmas time, that they'll take time during the Christmas season to take a close look at the life of Jesus. But those who are inside Jesus spend all their time focusing on the birth of Jesus and sometimes don't take advantage of taking a close look at the life of Jesus during Christmas. And so that's what I want us to do this morning. I want us to take a close look at the life of Jesus. And I want us to, as believers, as those who know him, study his life. And there's a reason for that. And the reason is found in this passage I want us to read this morning. It's in 1 John chapter 2. And this, at the time this is written by the Apostle John. He is the last living apostle at this point in time. And he's writing to the churches in Asia Minor, and he's trying to give them some words of encouragement. And I want you to look down, if you will, in verse 5, about halfway through the verse, the second sentence of that verse. Listen to what it says. It says, this is a challenge to believers. By this we may be sure that we are in him. In other words, he's saying, I want you to understand this is how we gain assurance that we are in him. And what does he say in verse 6? Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Now, the challenge is real simple there. He said, listen, if you're going to be a believer, if you're going to claim that you abide in Jesus, then the bottom line is this, that you ought to look like Jesus. You ought to live like Jesus. You ought to sound like Jesus. Your life ought to be like Jesus if you're going to claim to abide in him. Now, we take that challenge that he offers there and say, you know what, we're going to take a little time today and we're going to examine the life of Jesus and say, what does it look like? And then we're going to live that way. And I wish we had time to examine many characteristics of the life of Jesus, but we only have time for one. And we're going to talk about just one big, overwhelming characteristic in the life of Jesus, and that's his integrity. And I want to offer three illustrations this morning of that, three biblical illustrations. And you just kind of write these passages down. One is found in Mark chapter 2. And in Mark chapter 2, this is an awesome, awesome story. Jesus has come to a town called Capernaum. He's meeting in a home. The disciples are there. The crowds are there. In fact, to be honest with you, the day is going on pretty normal for most of the city in Capernaum. But there is a crowd of people that have gathered into this small house, and they're listening to Jesus. There are four guys there. I don't know exactly why they came, but they got in their minds this idea, you know what, we've got a friend who is lame, who's laying on his mat, who really needs to meet Jesus. This is the miracle worker. This is the one who can make the lame to walk. And so they go and they grab this guy up and they take him back to the house, and the house is crowded. People are all around the house. They can't get to Jesus. No one's going to let him in. And so they go up the outside stairs, they go to the roof, and you know, and they start tearing the roof off, and they lower this guy down in front of Jesus. Now, there were a lot of people there that day, and some were there who really didn't respect what Jesus was doing, and they had a lot of suspicions about Jesus. And when Jesus was dealing with this whole situation, as these guys lowers this guy, you know, right in front of him, he understands what they're thinking. He knows exactly what's going on. He says this in verse 9. He says, which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, rise, take up your mat, and go home? And which do you want me to say here? Which is easier for me? And listen to this statement. He said, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go home. Phenomenal, phenomenal picture. Now, the second picture, I'm going to explain these in just a minute. The second picture is found in the Gospel of John chapter 10, which is another phenomenal passage. This is a time in the winter. It's at the Feast of Dedication. Jesus is walking through Solomon's colonnade, and some Jews come to him. This has been the guy that everybody's been directing their attention to, and they come to him and they say, if you are the Christ, and what they're talking about is the Messiah, the Old Testament Messiah, if you are the Christ, then just tell us plainly. Just tell us outright. Just make it very clear. If you're the Christ, if you're the Messiah, just make it known. And listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said to them, I told you, and you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name bear witness of me. That's illustration number two. Illustration number three, just four chapters later in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. This is one of those phenomenal settings. In fact, my favorite setting in all the New Testament. John 13, the disciples are finally getting the point that Jesus is going to die. And boy, you know what? Their countenances sink. And you know, their hearts sink, and they're saddened by this. They've given their lives to Jesus. They still don't understand this whole deal yet, but they're getting the picture that he's going to die. And Jesus starts off in John 14, you know, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Remember that whole thing? And he tells them he's going to leave, and he's going to prepare a place, and he said, I'm going to come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am, and you know the way to the place where I'm going. You remember what Thomas said? Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way to the place you're going. And Jesus responded in verse 6 by saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. That's that passage that's gotten so much controversial attention today in the news media because it's so exclusive. But those are the words of Jesus, and it is exclusive, but it's also inclusive, isn't it? If anyone comes to Christ, he is a new creature. The old has passed away, the new is coming. It's just amazing what God does for us. But what happens is sometimes in a verse like that, in a passage like that, one of the most important parts just gets lost. And one of the important parts in that passage is what happens a few verses later when Philip asks Jesus another question. He said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us. And Jesus said to him, Philip, I mean, have I not been with you this long doing all this stuff, and you don't realize that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? In fact, listen to this down in verse 22, or down in verse 11. This is what Jesus said. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father's in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Now, there's three illustrations: Mark chapter 2, John chapter 10, John chapter 14. And here's the point of integrity. Here's what I want you to get, the point of integrity. The words Jesus spoke and the works Jesus performed were in unison. And that's integrity. The words Jesus spoke and the works Jesus performed were in unison. Now, you say, well, how does that impact me? What does that mean for me? Well, it means that we're to live like Jesus. And if we're going to live like Jesus, then our words and our works need to always sing the same song. You get it? What we say and what we do needs to sing the same song. We need to be singing the same song. If we're going to do that, then you know what? We're going to be people of integrity. One of our passages is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 20, verse 6 and 7. It's a great passage, and it just encourages us in this whole area of integrity. Listen to what it says. Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find? The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. I mean, what a challenge, what an encouragement. Let's be people of integrity. Let's live a life of integrity. And so what I want to do this morning is I want to do some soul surgery, a little bit of soul surgery this morning. And I want to tell you one of my favorite stories. It's really, really incredible. It happened back in February 1921. This guy by the name of Evan O'Neill Kane, who was the chief of surgery at Kane Summit Hospital in New York City. And you remember this is way, way back. He had a belief in his heart. His belief was that if they could do surgeries with localized anesthesia, it would reduce the health risks and the dangers during surgery. And you can imagine, not many people believed him. And so he could not find somebody to do surgery on where he could do localized anesthesia. And so he did surgery on himself. Is that incredible? And what he did was he, using local anesthesia, he removed his own appendix. Kind of gross, isn't it? Kind of scary. But he removed his own appendix. And you know, we've all benefited from that, haven't we? We've all benefited from that discovery. Now, what I want us to do this morning is I want us to step into the surgical suite, and I want us to do some soul surgery, some surgery on ourselves today. But I want us to do something a little bit different than what he did. We're not going to pass out knives, and we're not removing our appendix, okay? I just want you to do some surgery on your heart, and I want to use as our scalpel the very word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to what it says about the scripture. The word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so what we're going to do is we're going to do some open-heart surgery today, and we're going to look for integrity. And you say, why the heart? Why? Well, that's the place where integrity dwells. That's why in Proverbs 4:23, he tells us to guard our hearts, because out of it springs the issues of life. And that's why in Mark chapter 7, Jesus said this. He said, for within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, evil, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. It's the heart. Now, here's something that's rather interesting about integrity. Integrity is really peculiar. And the reason is because everyone claims to have it, but we have a hard time seeing it in others. Now, what I want you don't want you to do today is this. I don't want you to evaluate anybody else. You're doing open heart surgery on yourself. And so let's look inside our own hearts and let's open up God's word and see what God's word says about integrity. And let's apply it to our lives so that when we leave this place, we look like Jesus. We live like Jesus. We walk like Jesus. All right? Now, one of the first questions is, what is it? What is integrity? Let me give you the dictionary definition. An unimpaired condition or the quality of being complete. That's not much help, is it? As most dictionary definitions. But the scripture gives us some great insight into integrity. I want you to write down four things this morning about integrity. I think help us get a bigger, better picture of what integrity really is. First thing is this. The person of integrity is a person who is solid. The person of integrity is the person who is solid. And in one verse you want to write down is Proverbs 10:9. It says this, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. He who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Now, what I mean by this is this word in itself really does mean complete. And what it means is you're solid all the way through. I mean, what are you on the inside? You know, people are really good sometimes about having an outer shell like an M&M that's one color, but on the inside, they're totally different. And what the scripture teaching us about integrity is, all the way through, actually the solid picture of what it means to live like Jesus is, on the inside and the outside, I live for Jesus. Now, if you look at this verse in Proverbs 10:9, the focal point is this: he who walks in integrity walks securely. Walks in integrity. I mean, every single day we're just living for Jesus. That means also that we're solid in this respect. When we're at church, when we're at home. When we're at church, when we're at work. When we're at church, when we're all by ourselves, we are still the same person living for Jesus. Now, here's the result when you live like that. When you're solid, the result is confidence. He who walks in integrity walks securely. He walks with confidence. He lives his life with confidence. Why? Because he knows who he is. He knows how he lives, and there's no changing. He doesn't change his image or his style or what he believes. He is rock solid, and so he has great confidence in life. And man, that's so wonderful. That is so, so wonderful. Second thing, the person of integrity walks straight. Walks straight. And the verse I want you to write down is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. It says, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. The integrity of the upright guides them, but the crookedness of the treacherous destroys them. Now, here's a simple expression. Have you ever heard somebody say this? And I know if you're my age or older, you've heard this. He's as straight as an arrow, you know? And I don't know really what that means, because I've shot arrows before, and sometimes they're not too straight, but maybe if you're better at it, you can shoot a whole lot straighter than I can. But I've kind of got the idea, and that is, you know what? There's no mistaking how they live. They do all the investigating you want to do. Look closely at every area of their life. They just walk absolutely straight. They just live this straight as an arrow kind of life. There's no wavering with them. You know what? That's a good picture, isn't it? Man, you really know who somebody is when you know they're straight as an arrow. And that's what he's challenged us in integrity. You know what? We need to walk straight. In other words, we don't need to leave an uncertain path to follow. And by the way, let me just say this. If you take that Proverbs 20 passage and you take this passage in Proverbs chapter 11 and you start looking at this whole thing, we need to understand that in our walk, we need to live a clear path for others to follow, especially our children. And our children don't need to have to look anywhere else but to us as parents to say, you know what? That's what it means to live for Jesus. That's what it means to walk with Jesus. That's what it means to sound like Jesus. That's what it means to look like Jesus. Because my mom and my dad live for Jesus. They're straight as an arrow. They're people of integrity. They walk straight. Okay, number three. The person of integrity is sincere. By the way, the result of that is consistency. Okay, the result of that is consistency. And there is something to be said for just being consistent. You know, you can depend on somebody who's consistent. Number three. The person of integrity is sincere. Is sincere. And you know what that means? That means that he or she is genuine, is authentic. I mean, they're real. They're real. When we were in D.C., we went in the Smithsonian. And one of my least favorite parts, but my wife's favorite parts, was going in this rare gem collection section. You know, I'm not really into that. I don't go in jewelry stores for fun. And I wouldn't have gone in that section of the Smithsonian, but she loved it. The Hope Diamond was there. Not real impressed, big blue stone. But a lot of people looking at it, I'll tell you that, a lot of people taking pictures of it. You know what's so impressive about it? Every one of them, these are authentic, these are genuine, these are sincere diamonds, these are sincere stones. And it was amazing. You know what? They're getting rarer by the day, aren't they? People who are genuine, authentic, and sincere. But that's what we need to be. In fact, listen to this. Psalm 15, verses 1 and 2. The psalmist confesses, O Lord, who shall sojourn to your in your tent? In other words, who's going to come into the presence of the Lord? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? And listen to what he says. He who walks blamelessly, who does what is right, and speaks truth in his heart. He who walks blamelessly, who does what is right, who speaks truth in his heart. You know, he's just talking about somebody that's authentic. Somebody that has integrity is someone who's authentic, who's just real, who's just genuine. I mean, there's nothing false about them. It's just the real deal. Sincere. You know what the result of that is? Closeness. Genuine closeness with God. You know, it's really good. There's a lot of good things you can say about somebody who's a believer, but when you walk away from spending time with somebody, when you walk away and go, wow, they really know God. They just really know God. That may be the greatest thing. Number four is this. The person of integrity lives single. Now, this isn't a slap against marriage, okay? Just hang on with me for a minute. But the person of integrity lives single. And here's what I want you to catch. Psalm 25, verse 21. It says this. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. And what I'm talking about here is singleness of purpose. Singleness of purpose. You know what Jesus said over and over again? I do the work that the Father has given me to do. I'm living to honor the Father. As believers, we should be living for one thing and one thing only, and that is to honor Jesus. I mean, all the other stuff that's going on in life and all the other passions and all the other things that we have to do in life, I mean, they fall subservient to this overriding passion and purpose, this one thought, and that is, you know what, I'm single. I have a single passion and purpose, and that is to live for Jesus, to walk with Jesus, to look like Jesus. I mean, that's our passion. And when you have that, you know what? You've got a picture of integrity, because that's what a person of integrity does. And you know what the result of that is? Clarity. Clarity. Your path for people to follow is clear. And your future is absolutely clear. I don't know what tomorrow holds, and I don't know what 5 years from now holds, but I know what every one of those days hold. And that is that in those days, I need to look and live passionately for Jesus. That's it. Now, let me just wrap all this up. I said all this about integrity because you know what? People today are looking to Jesus, aren't they? You even hear on the radio, on secular radio stations, songs like Silent Night. You go in stores and somebody says, Merry Christmas. You see nativity scenes put out in people's yards. And out in stores for sale, people are hearing and seeing Jesus. But where they really need to hear and see Jesus is in you and me. Not just at Christmas time. And when we're standing in line and we've been there an hour and the sales clerk still hadn't figured out how to run the register. They need to see Jesus, don't they? You know? When you've been shopping all day and you still cannot find the right gift, everyone's sold out or everyone's damaged, you still need to see Jesus, don't they? When your family's shopping together and the thing everybody's getting tired and irritable and you're still standing out there in the store, they still need to see Jesus. You see, everywhere, people who don't know Jesus are not only looking at the birth of Jesus, they're looking at the life of Jesus, and the way they're going to see that is you and me. So we need to be people of integrity. Wherever we go, whatever we're doing, wherever we are, we need to walk, we need to live, we need to look, and we need to sound like Jesus. Because whoever claims to be in him must walk as Jesus did. Let's stand and pray. Father, we just love you today, and we thank you for your love for us, and we thank you for the joy of being together today. It's amazing to be able to celebrate the life that we have in you and the joy that we have in our hearts because of you. And Lord, that's not just at Christmas time. It's not just at the celebration.